Now, also this week, the genome of the water mould responsible for potato blight and resultingly responsible for the Great Irish Famine. This is called Phytophthora infestans. That's been published in this week's Nature, and there are some tantalising targets for attack.
But surely the potato famine was over 100 years ago. Isn't this a little bit late?
Well, yes. When we talk about the potato famine, which famously hit Ireland between 1845 and 1852, it does seem like a historical rather than a contemporary concern that we have. But plant diseases like potato blight do remain a threat to food security all over the world. In fact, current annual losses due to blight are estimated to be $6.7 billion.
Well, can't we just use like pesticides to knock it out? Why do we have to find the genome and go forward with this kind of research?
Well, preventing and treating blight has actually proven very difficult because it seems to adapt remarkably quickly to our control methods, taking hold very quickly in cultivars of potato that are, or rather were, genetically resistant to blight. So now with the publication of its genome, we can start to understand just how it adapts so quickly, and we can devise better ways to fight it. Chad Nussbaum from the Broad Institute of MIT in Harvard and Cambridge in Massachusetts, and his colleagues actually from all over the world, analysed the genome and they compared it to other species of Phytophthora. They found a dense region of highly conserved genes, so these are genes that all these different species share, but then the majority of the genome consisted of these repeating regions. Now, Paul Birch is a professor of plant pathology at the University of Dundee, and he was a co-author on the paper, and he explained why this is important.
From the pathogen's point of view, all of the genes that we can see that are to do with infecting potato reside in these repetitive regions. So we would speculate that they're able to evolve faster. The products of the genes in these regions, the proteins that they make, are exposed to the plant's immune system. So we believe that it's got the genes in these regions in order to evolve more rapidly to evade detection by plant immune systems.
So this repetitive region of the genome was seen to contain the genes that alter the normal biological processes in the plant, and that helps the blight to get past the plant's defences. It also contained bits of DNA that are known to move around the genome. These are called transposons. And this ability to alter its own genome is thought to be a key feature in the rapid adaptability of the disease. Now that we know how it's doing it, we can start to identify some targets for attack. And also, in a related paper in Current Biology this week, Dawn Arnold from the University of the West of England, or UWE, reports how the defences of the bean plant may actually be driving bacteria to become even more pathogenic than they already were. Now, obviously, you'd think that plant defences can't be very good if they're actually making their own attacker worse, but it seems that the plants put so much pressure on the bacteria that it forces them to do something a bit unusual. Now, she was working with teams from Imperial College London and Reading University, and they looked at Pseudomonas syringae, which is a bacteria that causes halo blight in bean plants. They observed the bacterium in response to the bean plant's defences, and they watched it eject a little region of their DNA, what they call a genomic island, and that bit of DNA was then taken up by other bacteria.
So surely this spells a lot for bacterial evolution if there's sort of DNA floating about and being spat around.
Well, exactly. This is something that we call horizontal gene transfer. That's the sort of passage from one bacterium to another. And it's thought to play a very key role in bacterial evolution. We know that bacteria can swap these sections of their genome. In fact, we've seen the pathogenic bit of the genome, or the pathogenic genomic island, swapped around in some pretty nasty characters. There's Yersinia, which is the bacteria that causes plague.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. A food poisoning bacteria, Salmonella, also is known to do the same thing. And Vibrio cholera, which you might work out is responsible for cholera, also does the same sort of thing. But this is the first time that we've actually seen it happen within a host, and certainly the first time that we've seen it happen in response to or encouraged by the stress of a host immune attack. So now looking at the rest of the genome, they were able to identify genes that were essential to actually allow this gene transfer to occur. So if we can target those genes, then we can help to slow the development of the pathogenicity and slow the development of resistance, which is really important, in quite a range of pathogens, which should be able to make our disease control systems for all sorts of different plant pathogens much longer lasting.
They're plucky things, those pathogens. They get up to all sorts of mischief.